So a question for you today. Can physical things teach us spiritual lessons? And the Bible's answer is a resounding of course. Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 12, for example, opens with this famous statement, Proverbs 6, verse 6, which I'll read for you. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. So the Bible says anyone who chooses to can learn wisdom about the value of preparation and labor from using ants as their teacher. Ants have a limited vocabulary with which to teach us, but one word all ants know is the word until. So when you were a kid, if you ever saw ants on the sidewalk and you put an obstacle in front of them, how long will they try to get around the obstacle? The answer is they will try until. And the reason is quit is not in the ant dictionary. So from the lowly physical ant, we can learn profound spiritual wisdom. Physical work is another area where we can reap a harvest of spiritual lessons. Did King David learn anything about shepherding Israel from his time protecting and shepherding and watching over sheep? You know, I thought I had heard that before, and I looked online and I noticed there's a message from Razor Rung from 2002 about this topic. I'm like, wow, it seemed more recent than that, and I realized he reused that at the Feast in England this year. So, he said it was the best feast ever because he had no work to do. Anyhow, how about Peter and Andrew? Their physical work was fishing. When Jesus called them in Mark 1, verse 17, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." So, spiritual parallels to physical work. So today I wanted to talk about something I experience at work and maybe some spiritual lessons we can learn from it. The title of my message today is Stand Up. So the group I manage has a daily meeting we call a stand-up meeting. It's a very short, very focused meeting in which you go around the room every day and everybody answers three questions. The first question is, what did you get done yesterday? The second question is, what do you plan to get done today? And the third question is, what's getting in your way? Everyone answers the three questions. They answer them every day, and they answer them in front of everybody. So you can imagine there's some pressure to have good answers to these questions. And frankly, there's no practice I know of that's better at getting people to focus, to prioritize, and to follow through on the commitments they make than this practice. Three simple but compelling questions asked every day. What did you get done yesterday? What do you plan to get done today? And what is getting in your way? So the specific purpose of today's message is to encourage us to ask these questions about our spiritual life and our spiritual work. So why is the stand-up meeting and the three questions so effective? And I think there are three reasons. Number one is they focus on results. So again, the first question is, what did you get done? The question is not what did you work on, it's what did you actually complete? What did you accomplish with your time and opportunities and talents? In a way, the parable of the talents says the kingdom of God is like a stand-up meeting. Matthew 25, verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Verse 19, Matthew 25, verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled or took accounts with them. And we know the story. The person who was delivered five talents produced another five. The person who was delivered two talents produced another two. The person delivered one talent produced nothing. The master has a stand-up meeting. He calls his staff. He asks the question, what did you get done? And two people have numbers, and one person only has a story, an excuse. And the master answers that excuse in Matthew 25, verse 6. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. So unlike the ant, this man didn't learn to prepare when there was time to prepare, didn't work when there was opportunity to work, and didn't use the talent delivered to him. So what has God delivered to you and I? God has delivered to us time. He's delivered to us truth, as we heard about from Rob Harris. He's given us opportunity, and he's given us talents. He also gave us the Feast of Unleavened Bread, an opportunity to look for and to clean out sin out of every corner of our lives. So if you would, imagine God stops services. We all stand around the room, and God holds a stand-up with us. If he asked us right now about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, what did we get done? What did we overcome? What sin did we truly remove from our lives this feast? If we had to stand and answer that question right now, would we be glad to answer it, or would we be embarrassed to answer it? This leads to the second question in the stand-up and why the stand-up is so effective. Number two is because it's focused on what's next. The first question is, what did you get done yesterday? The next question is, what do you plan to get done today? So this is a pretty, to me, hopeful question. If someone didn't bear good fruit yesterday, if you had a bad day, if you had a bad month, if you had a bad decade, this question says you can repent and refocus on redeeming the time today. Ezekiel 18, verse 23. Notice the opportunity God gives us to start fresh today. Ezekiel 18, verse 23. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways? Again, if we had a bad day, a bad week, a bad decade, God says, change it. Make today a new day. Ezekiel 18, verse 21, and here is the result of refocusing and repenting. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has done, which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live and shall not die. Verse 22, it gets even better. Ezekiel 18, verse 22, none of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. God says, repent, and we can have a clean slate today. But notice, to repent means to turn away from something and towards something, and to start producing fruit. So again, if God held a stand-up meeting with us and he asked you and I, what do we plan to get done today? What do we plan to overcome? What would the truthful answer be? If we haven't planned much, we probably won't accomplish much. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 reminds us, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who doesn't plan much probably will not accomplish much. But the Bible also assures us, if we will plan and if we will plant, then God will cause our seed to grow. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. The final reason I think the stand-up is so effective is that it's focused on action. So the last question everybody answers is, what is getting in your way? In other words, what is impeding, what is slowing, what is preventing you from accomplishing all that you could be accomplishing today? How zealous should we be at removing impediments? Anything in our lives that causes us to sin. How zealous should we be? Christ answers that in Matthew 5, verse 29 through 30. I'll read part of this for you. Matthew 5, verse 29 through 30. If your right eye or your hand or anything causes you to sin, pluck it out. And of course, the point is not that we should go around scooping our eyes out, but it's making the point how seriously God expects us for our own good to address sin. This feast reminds us also that it doesn't take a huge sin to puff us up and to puff us out and away from God. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 6, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So in conclusion here, what I found is having to articulate every day, what did I get done yesterday, what do I plan to accomplish today, and what is getting in my way is a very powerful way to get myself and the people I work with to focus, to prioritize, and to deliver on their commitments. Doing this in our spiritual lives, asking these questions of ourselves, can also enable us to focus, to prioritize, and to deliver on the commitment we've made to living God's way, the right way of life. If we will do this, it will enable us to stand before Christ when He returns and to personally hear the beautiful words of Matthew 25, verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.